just realized, you know, we got to be non-complainers. And so the title of it is Don't Complain. And we'll just go from there. Hallelujah. But just let Beth know, whoever wants a CD sometime, and she's working on that, and we can make copies and get you a CD of it. And praise God. And he didn't, you know, that man goes back to 1994 in my life. And never heard of him or anything. And he's connected us. He's a God connection. That's all I really need to say about that. And later on, he's been here, but later on he came to church up there at Faith Restoration. I didn't even recognize the dude. You know, I didn't recognize John, and ministered and prophesied up there. He's one of the modern day prophets, apostle prophets, you know, and he's willing to lay his life down for Jesus, you know, and all of that stuff. And we are in our own way. We lay our life down for the Lord. But how many knows that's what the children of Israel did back in the wilderness? And every one of us, every Christian on the planet, has got a million reasons probably a day to complain. We can complain about, you know, I worked on the seasons changes and different things, and I used to get, my glands would swell up when it changed from spring to fall, spring to summer, and then when it went from summer, winter to spring, and then when it went from, so I started learning how that we have authority over sickness and disease. I started learning that back in 1994, I guess, five, somewhere along in there. And so then I started learning how that Satan can rob you, you know. And the thief comes not, but John 10:10, the thief comes not, but to steal, kill, and destroy. Then I found out that that concerned me. Then I found out that he had been stripped of all power. Then I found out that Jesus bore our sins, sickness, disease, poverty. I began to learn that the church and some folk tried to teach me that God was in control of everything. And I found out that God wasn't in control of everything. I found out that he gave the earth to the sons of men. That's me and you. He gave it to us, you know, and then he sent his power. He gave us power over all the power of the devil. I began to find out, you know, that my destiny didn't lie in the hands of God. That my destiny and my prosperity had already been paid for, had already been purchased, had already been, Jesus took everything that I realized that he took everything that I would ever go through on himself. He bore it all. He bore all my marriage trouble. Right? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Married 40 years. If I go back again, I would marry the woman again, knowing everything that I was going to have to endure, she is worth it. Because through Jesus, her and Jesus has made a man out of me. How many knows the Bible says y'all guys endure hardship? As a good soldier. I'm talking about your wives now. Because we got to have God's grace, guys. Because they don't think like we do. And that don't. Teresa says I think on the right side and she thinks on the left. But I believe I'm in the middle. I believe she's a lefty and I'm straight. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? I could complain about her. I could. I could start and I could complain about something all the time about her, you know. How many knows the Bible don't say complain in all the hardship? It says endure hardship. See, complaining robs you of your joy, your faith, your courage, your strength. Hallelujah. And so, instead of complaining about what the hospital charged me, they charged me for a room, and I didn't ever go in the room. Charged me $300 for the room, and the shot was $10. The rooms were full, and they and they wrapped a sheet around me in the hall and shot my bahunkas. I got the bill, and I started complaining. Stupid hospital, blah, blah, blah. They charged me for, and the Lord said, I told you to rejoice, and again I say rejoice. So God began to teach me way down there as a baby Christian. You know, be thankful for that hospital they were there for you. Be thankful that they give you a shot even though you didn't get a room. Be thankful. See, what God was doing is I was letting that trial steal my victory. I was letting that trial steal my strength going forward in God. Now, how many knows that I'd already seen power? I'd already received a victory. It's kind of like Dave talked about, you know, we keep boxing because we know who's going to win. We're not losers. The Bible says that He takes us, that thanks be unto God, which always, somebody say always, gives us the victory. We always come out victorious if we don't do like the children of Israel in the wilderness. The Bible tells us that those things God had wrote down for examples to us that we didn't follow. They worshiped other gods. They created, they made a golden image and began to worship it. You know, they rejoiced when, I believe, Moses went down there. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, Romans 10:17. They didn't have Romans 10:17 when Moses went over there. Moses had a word from God to go over there and tell his people. He was a messenger, is all Moses was. Moses was a type of Jesus. The Old Testament is types and shadows. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You know? That's why Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, John said. Well, when He went over there, He told them. They were in bondage. They were slaves. They were literal slaves. And He went over there and told them, Moses did, and Moses told them, God's going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to eat out of vineyards that you didn't plant. He's telling them this, giving them a vision. See, God's Word gives you a vision if you take it. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's in Corinthians, he said, blessed are the feet, might be in Romans, blessed are the feet of those that preach the gospel of good news and glad tidings. Blessed. But he says, how can they preach unless they're sent? Right? And it says, how can they hear without a preacher? Then it goes on down and it says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, you know what? They were all happy, I imagine, the way the Bible says, and Moses is leading them out, and God led them to the Red Sea, led them to an impossible situation. Have you ever been in impossible situations where it looked impossible, looked like you're not going to win? Looks like this is going to be the end of your faith, the end of your courage, the end of your... I have. I've been there. And that's where they were at. And God told Moses, He said, stretch forth your rod. And when He did, y'all know what happened. The sea rolled back. And they went across on dry land. And He told them, He said, from here out you will see your enemies no more. And when they was pursuing, let Satan come after you. Let him pursue you. He's going to. He wants you back in sin. He wants you back in defeat. He wants you back in destruction. He wants you back in your own ability. He wants you in your own strength. He wants you away from the power of the anointing of God. I was telling somebody this morning, I said, you know what? I said, it's not only, I said, anybody can preach the Bible. Anybody can preach the Scriptures. I said, but it's the anointed Word that we hear. I pick my preachers I listen to outside of church. I pick them. I pray. I pray because I'm not going to sit there and have to guard and, and, and take a chance of tearing down what the Scripture is true to me. Hallelujah. And I told that person, I said, I would not sit under foolish preaching. I said, I wouldn't sit under it. Why? Because like my pastor told me one time, he said, be careful what people tell you about Jesus. Be careful how they preach the word. Then I heard another preacher later on, and he said, why do you believe what you believe? He said, check out why you believe what you believe. Do you believe what you believe because you heard somebody else? Or do you believe what you believe because it's scriptural? And so I made up my mind, praise God, that I didn't want to limit God like they did out there. See, they started believing lies when they got across that Red Sea. They begin to sing songs. They sang a song. Oh, victory is mine. That ain't the song I sang. But they were singing. I imagine if I'd have been out there and knew that song, I'd learned that song in church. Victory, oh, victory is mine, oh, victory. I've used that for nearly 30 years when I'm in heart. I mean, the jobs that I get. You think you in your own business that you just got gravy train? You think you just make your own hours? No, you don't. You're in service to the Lord. You're employed by the Lord. So just about every job before I get there, I mean, because we go on jobs, the job that we hauled a whole truckload the other day and the job wasn't even ready. Guess what? That truck cost me $50 an hour. Whether I do a job or not, at least $50 an hour. I'm 4 or 5 hours and didn't get nothing done. You figure. And then you got to go back, so that's going to cost you another. Right? What do? These stupid jobs. I have opportunity just like you do. I don't care if you're working at McDonald's, you're working at Jack's, or you're working at the gym, or you're working for somebody. Sandy cleans houses. She could gripe about most of them people probably. Right? You know what that does? That causes it that when we complain about our work, and it's challenging. I'm not saying that it's easy every time, but you know what? You can come to the place by exercising your faith and exercising your will and exercising not complaining. Come to the place to where nothing moves you. That you know that Romans 8 assures God, you're going to work this out. Why? Because you've used it every time. Satan's like, why don't you use another scripture? Use another one. No, this one's good. That's why the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is. I was thinking about the teenager, y'all young. We're doing our duty with our kids, grandkids, to bring Jesus in about everything. We had to tell them our dog went to heaven this morning. They asked me yesterday, when's Daisy coming home? That's their dog. Well, they did surgery on her, and she went on to heaven. You know? And so we encouraged them, well, went to heaven. Right? She said, oh, poor old kid, gonna miss that, blah, blah. What's the use in complaining? We got to rejoice, right? He says rejoice, and again I say rejoice. James chapter 2, 1 verse 2, he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience, works endurance. And it goes on, and it says you will be entire, lacking nothing. You won't lack faith. Well, Psalm 78 over there, they begin to complain when they got out. He said they limited the Holy One of Israel. So God said, I want you to tell them at church. He said, I'm just a messenger here. He said, I want you to tell them at church that I want them to go the rest of this month and don't complain about nothing. Boy, we got a job, ain't we? Some of us got a job here, you know. But God said by the end of the month, the fruit that'll be bore in your life will be supernatural. The way you feel, the way your circumstances are. You see, good was coming to them in the wilderness. They got out there, they began to complain. They complained about their circumstances. It's too hot. I started back yonder, praise God, working on praising God when everything's not going my way. Praising God when everything is not in my favor. Praising God when I have to go and do what I don't want to do. Right? Praising God that I don't anymore. Now I don't try to blow my vehicles up because me and my wife gets into it. I used to try to blow my four-wheelers up. I'd get them in first gear and stomp them and just take that. Pull out on the road, low gear and hold it till it's just pop, pop, you know, trying to blow it up, you know, and all of that stuff. How many knows that's me yielding to the destructor, the killer, the stealer, the destroyer? That's the only power that he has for me and you to complain and yield. Complain and yield. I know it's tough when it's your kids. I understand. I had one, raised him. Thank God he's out of my house and I'm in good shape. Beth's got him now. She signed up for it. And she said, I guarantee you, God, Jesus and Travis has helped her be a woman if she's yielded to the Lord. Right? She has plenty of opportunities, I promise. Hallelujah. I know Travis ain't Halo ain't on all the way straight all the time. Hallelujah. Teresa taught me that. I didn't believe it. But she proved it out, Johnny. Praise God. But you know what? They complained about their circumstance. Haven't been complaining. Don't raise your hand. Don't answer. It's none of my business. I'm better off not knowing. I don't have as many trials. The less I know about you, the less trials I have. Hallelujah. Now, I like to hear your testimonies, and I'm like, woo! Man, I might have got depressed if I knew this was going through all of that mess. Ha! Hallelujah. Because I've got John Adedola. He said, he's not a super spiritual guy. He's just a man walking and doing the will of God, and it's leading him into trouble. Right? The will of God led Paul into all kinds of trouble. The will of God led Jesus into all kinds of trouble. The Bible says that Jesus became obedient even to the death of the cross. He was obedient to death. Now, you know what? Symbolic to that in our life, we die out to ourselves and we're being crucified. Right? We stop complaining. Now we're taking on that life that he went on the cross to give us. Hallelujah. And that life is victory. See, he was obedient to the cross, and you know what? Where it led him? He's been placed in authority over principalities and powers and every name that he was exalted, the Bible says. He was also highly exalted. See, the life of Jesus exalts us above our enemies. And so they complained about their circumstances. They complained about the manna, Johnny. They complained, you know. Me and Teresa, we've had plenty of reason to complain when we only had one meal left. We understand. Me and her went to town the other day. She kept me out shopping over a half a day. I normally don't do that. And I think, oh my God, Samantha and Bess got her stirred up or something. Them two kiddos will get in the car and you'll hear they're in Coleman going after a glass of coffee or something. I'm like, seriously, make you one in the kitchen. It cost you 30 cents, man. That's $8 for a, I don't know what it is, something like that. But anyways, you know. But why would I want to complain and spoil their fun? Right? It ain't costing me nothing. Rejoice that they're happy drinking that high dollar coffee. Hallelujah, praise God. If you find yourself complaining about them spending that kind of money when they could spend it on the poor, why don't you just give them $100 and tell them enjoy themselves for at least a week? That would help your complaining. Right? Right. Johnny's like, yes, man, I'm going to take up an offering when I get back up there. No. Well, don't the Bible say overcome evil with good? Well, if Satan's trying to get you to do evil by thinking evil and trying to get you to say and complain about other people or something, you know, that, you know, go ahead and get in there and enjoy yourself, helping them enjoy themselves, and show the devil that you ain't going to be used by like that. You're not going to complain. Hallelujah. Somebody asked me here a while back, they say, how's the tithes and offerings at church? I said, I don't have a clue. Said, what do you mean you don't have a clue? I said, I don't keep up with that. I said, because if I find out one of them's not tithing, it might mess with me. Right? Well, the Bible told me not to be a busybody. Right? In the Bible. Well, I mean, that's in every area. The less I know about people, really, the better off I am. And you too. I mean, I know people that, I mean, they buy the busted paper. It used to be called busted. I mean, and they check that thing. Oh, there's so-and-so. Then they go around and tell, did you know we went to jail? Did you know we went to jail? You know, and I told somebody a year while back, I said, the only reason you ain't went to jail is because you ain't got caught. I break the law all the time, not on purpose. If it's 55 and I run 60, guess what? I'm busted, right? But, oh, this and up here's work. No, let's just keep our mind on the Lord and don't complain, hallelujah. Pray for people, praise God, but they begin to complain about their situation. Complain. I've complained about my neighbor, and God said, go give him some squash. And I thought, man, he's lazy. I work hard in this garden, and I'm not giving him. He don't care about me, and why should I give him? He can plant his own garden. But you know what? God was trying to kill the complaining in me. It wasn't about the neighbor. It wasn't about the garden. Wasn't about the hard work. It was about freedom that I needed to walk on deeper in. You know, and so I thought, well, you know, the Bible does say overcome evil with good. You know, and so when you do good, you overcome that evil that is trying to overcome you. The Bible says don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. See, the children of Israel let their circumstances turn their hearts evil. Because the Bible says that they turned back in their hearts. They kept marching with everybody. They kept going to church, so to speak. And I'm sure Moses preached to them. He was a preacher. Right? I'm sure he brought up God about every day. I'm sure that he said, hey, y'all remember what God said? Hey, y'all stop that. I'm sure all that's not written in there because there's not enough papers to write down everything that happened. But God give us just enough to see that we don't want to go that route. You know, I could complain about the church all the time. And I used to when people didn't show up. It would hurt my feelings. I would feel like they abandoned me. I'd feel like, you know, I love y'all and y'all don't show no love back, you know. And Paul experienced that. He said, but the more, and I used that scripture, the more that you don't do that, the more that I'm willing to be spent for you. Well, what Paul done, Paul was overcoming the ignorance that people had in them. Paul, I mean, most people that hurt you, they really don't do it on purpose. They're just self looking at their self and feelings and all of that and how what they want and all that. If they really thought about it, most people, not everybody, but most people would never do it if they knew the hurt that they were hurting you with. You know, so you can't take that stuff personal or you will begin to complain. You will begin to feel sorry for yourself. And in the natural, maybe you got a right. But in the kingdom, we don't have a right to do that. God's taken us somewhere. God's taken our life somewhere. And God has set it out. And he even told them, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And he said, choose life. Choose the blessing. Choose the blessed way. They were happy to start with about what groceries they got. But then they got tired of the groceries, so to speak. The manna. They got tired of that. Well, you know what? They brought the curse on themselves. They did it. Because God had already set it out. Y'all follow me. Don't serve no other God. Keep your heart on me. Keep in the Bible, he tells us, you know, to acknowledge him in all of our ways, Proverbs 3. And he'll give us direction in our troubles, with our kids, with our grandkids, with our ministry. They even begin to complain about the ministry, Johnny. They begin to complain about Moses. Y'all don't do that here, but I've had them here. Who does Scotty think he is? I mean, I'm only doing what I feel God's telling me to do. That's all that's all Moses was doing. I've been, you know, had people, somebody wanted to do the food, deliver the food like me and Teresa does. And it was a lot more than what we do now, you know. And we begin to sharpen the pencil and find out who didn't have a ride and you know, that's who we deliver to. If you got a ride, get out of the bed and get here, or you don't want no food. That's real simple, ain't it? Well, they're elderly. I'm getting there, but I'm coming. I'm coming to give me some food. No, I found out that Caleb was 80 years old, right? He'd been walking in that wilderness 40 years. 40 years. And he stayed in the right spirit the whole 40 years. I bet you he thought, I'm not going to hang out with that bunch over there. All they do is complaining about Moses. Then he walked by, man, I'm not going to their tent today because all they want to do is gripe about what God's given us. I'm not going to go, God, I don't know why God don't come through for us. And God's coming through for them all the time. See, we need to learn to praise him where we're at. Paul said that I have learned in every state to be content, not to be a complainer, not to be a griper. I know I've got the right word. I mean, y'all teenagers, stop complaining about your teachers. Stop complaining about your principal. Stop complaining about the ones that you don't fit in with. Stop complaining about the ones that bust you in the nose with a ball on purpose. Stop complaining, you know, stop complaining. Stop complaining because you don't get your way at home all the time. I don't get my way at home. I mean, I come in the other day and Teresa, you're going to have to be more careful when you eat over there. I said, what? She said, I got Doritos, cheese. I mean, she began to name off all of my good leftover food that was under my side of the couch. And then when I salt my plate, I got me a blanket because That's the devil. That's the devil. A burrito. Man, I get over there and I eat, man, and I wrap up in that. I'm like a burrito over there. I wrap up and I back and then I'll hear, Scotty, turn over, you're snoring. I mean, 5 minutes after I get to sleep, you know, and I always think, man, I didn't even know it till you woke me up and told me I was asleep. You know, but when I'm sure when she brings that up, there's salt goes all over the floor because I like salt. But there's time in the season when she went through and I'm not even there and she's complaining. She told us about it, remember? Preaching. I pay attention in church. And I don't use it against her. I don't go home and use nothing against her, you know, that's not right either. You know? And God helped her. She was miserable. It makes you miserable to complain. She was just miserable. Her griping about me and I'm not even there is not helping her at all. Right? I come in, I don't know. I'm happy because I don't know. I'm glad you did it to God. That way I didn't hear it and that was a trial that wasn't created that I didn't have to endure. Hallelujah. Well, I could start complaining. Who do you think you are? I mean, I know we bought this house together, but I live here. And if I want to smack food down in between the couch, I think I ought to be privileged. I help buy the couch too, and the food. She said something about, oh, I know what it was. We got so much that we spend a month on food, you know, and groceries and bills, you know. And kind of like, you know, we got a budget. And so anyways, she said, hey, I had to spend some of that grocery money, so I got some of this something. She said something. I said, well, I got that money back. And I'm thinking, you got that money back for groceries from me. And so I told her, I said, well, you know, I think you eat more of the groceries than I do. You're here more than me. Why should I have to pay for more of your groceries? See, you're a genius. You hear me? Y'all are geniuses. I mean, who would think about coming up with something like that? Only Jesus. We got the mind of Jesus, right? Right? He said we have the mind of Christ, right? So he ain't all uptight griping about everything, right? The little children, they loved him. They got around. The sinners loved Jesus. But you know, them religious, you didn't see them flocking over there to all them complaining Pharisees and scribes. They're like, oh, that's God. We don't want none of it. See, we're not a church that way. We're a church when people get around us because we don't complain, because we do praise God. And when we get in their presence, they're not in the presence of a bunch of complainers. They're in the presence of some trouble, of some problem solvers. Because now we're walking in the wisdom of God. And I have fun at my house. And she calls at me getting on her nerves, and I I just don't agree with that statement. You know, I used to maybe did it to get on her nerves just a little bit because it was funny. But now I do it to amuse myself. Right? I mean, we sang it in church, this joy that I have. Well, didn't give it to me, no, no. Then here comes Teresa. God loves us, man. I mean, he loves us. And it don't give God joy when I complain about the doctor's office. You know, God gave us his joy. You know, and you can't take God's joy. You can't take God's faith away from him. He's God and all that. But he's like, I want y'all to walk in and experience me. So we say this joy. Next time that trial comes up, jump out of your truck and go, this joy that I have, well, didn't give it to me, no, no. Don't get to work and say, what was that song? I know that song is something about joy. Sang it. Sang it a lot this month. This joy that I have, world didn't give it to me. Jesus did. This joy. Then say, when you're facing, when it looks impossible, this faith that I have, world didn't give. Jesus did. He gave you his faith. Hallelujah. They complained about their circumstances. They complained about what God was supplying to them. I mean, I tell God, I say, God, well, look, you need a car. Y'all young teenagers, you're going to need a car. Well, Mom and Daddy said, well, you know, you're going to straighten up sooner or later. Right? I promise you, you're going to straighten up. We all did. We've been teenagers. You know, life is going to help you soon. It's going to help you soon. All the little jeebie-jeebie boyfriends. Then when you get up, Aubrey, she said, no, Papa, you're going to buy me a car. I said, no, I'm not going to buy you a car. You're going to get a job. I'm not going to get her relying on Papa, right? Jesus is going to help you. Well, if I was a teenager today, knowing what I know now, I'd have me a steering wheel covered if I didn't have a car. And I'd have it on my door, and I'd praise Jesus every day. I would say, thank you, Lord, according to Mark 11:24, whatsoever things I desire when I pray, I believe I receive it, God, and I'm not going to put pressure on my parents or my grandparents. Lord, you said, see, listen to me, guys. This Bible is for you, too. This Bible is for 7-year-olds. This Bible is for 10-year-olds, 14, 13. I'll miss y'all's number. Whatever yours is, put it in there. It's for 30-year-olds. It's for 58-year-olds. Mac, it's for, I won't say it. I don't know it. Johnny does. Johnny's keeping up with your birthday, man. Hallelujah, praise God. But they complained, you know, and that's one of the challenges. But look, listen to me. I can tell you, the more that you exercise praising God, the easier it is not to complain. You don't have to make yourself quit complaining. Just start praising and make it a habit. And the complaining loses its power over you. And then the joy of the Lord is really becoming your strength. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I made strong. When he's in his weakness, when he feels, I'm sure Paul felt defeated. I don't know, the Bible don't tell it, but there ain't no way you can walk in telling people about Jesus like Johnny's doing a little bit, and they throw rocks and stone you, and then get a hold of your arms or something and drag you outside the city, and they think you're dead, and get up and not feel anything. I mean, they looked around and they're like, ah, here he is. We thought he was dead. He's coming back. Well, that's what the devil needs to say about you. Yeah. I give it my best. I cause them to make decisions, and I cause them to make wrong decisions. I coerce them into making wrong choices and complaining and all of that. And I thought that would work, but see, he forgot about Jesus. He forgot about the Word of God. That's why I say let the Word of God be first place and final authority. I would get me a steering wheel cover and I would put it on there. I don't care if I'm 10, 14, 50. I told Aubrey, I had her on my gator yesterday. I guess it was yesterday. And I told her, I said this. I said, she said, I want to drive, Papa. I said, okay. I said, and it's got the steering wheel, the gear stick, and gas and brakes. And I told her, I said, this is going to be just like you driving your car. I said, you're 10 already, you know. 9, Papa, she reminded me. Her birthday's next month. I'm 9. I said, well, you're close. See, they're smart. I tell her all the time, you're smart like Papa. Right? Well, I'm smart like Jesus, right? I don't think that I don't have wisdom for my grandkids. I have the mind of Jesus. I go by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And He tells me to talk about it all the time in the Old Testament, you know, when you're sitting in your house, when you're, you know, all of that stuff, you know. And so I told her, I said, she said, and listen, she's really smart. She said, well, Papa, she's driving. And I told her, I said, well, this is the way you drive. She's running 7 miles an hour. Aiden wants to run 50 in low gear. So I told her, I said, this is the way you drive. Not like Aiden, because he gets on there and he tells her, nah, you don't drive slow, you punch it. And he's even going to put his foot on her foot and punch it. And I said, don't do it. Because I thought, I'm on here, man. And she'll panic and run us off the ditch. Flip us over or something, man. That's wisdom, right? And so anyhow, she's going down through there, and she said, hey, Papa. I said, yes, baby. And she said, how do you grade my driving? From an A+ to an A-. Is that what you said? What'd you say? Oh, F-. I thought she said A-. I told her, I said, you're not giving me much room. I thought she said A- to an A+. Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking, man, you know. And I told her, I said, well, you're not, because I thought that's what she said, but that's not what she said. I just misunderstood it. So I told her, I said, you're not giving me much room here. I said, I'm going to have to go with an A minus, because that's as low as I can go. She said, well, Papa, what do I need to work on? I said, driving. I said, just work on driving. Just learn how to drive good. Now, Aiden asked him, he drives better than his daddy. I'm like, uh-oh, he's 7. Dude, I got to get him down from that because he's not going to be teachable. If you believe he's driving better than your dad, 30 years old, and you're 7, you know, well, he ran over one of my thornless blackberries last year. That's not very driving good. So I tell him, he's crying, you know. I said, what happened? I said, what'd you run over that for? Well, Bubba, I was looking that way. I said, and you run over the, I said, you know you're not going to eat any blackberries? You run over the blackberries. No, he's crying. I said, stop that crying. I can't get on to them, Johnny. I mean, they think the world's come to an end. Aubrey's up there yesterday, and I said, I need to spank his little rear ends, what I need to do like that. And she said, Papa, would you really spank him? And I said, well, no, but I'm thinking about it. Well, I need to teach them generosity, right? To be graceful. You're anointed for that. I don't need to be quick-tempered with them, too. And act like they know what I know at 7 and 10. Be gentle with them. Be able to teach them. How many knows the Bible says that God, Paul told Timothy, he said, commit this word to faithful men that's able to teach, not able to gripe. Anybody can gripe. Anybody can complain. Every one of y'all could complain. I've heard it. I don't care what Brother Scotty says. I'm not doing that. I'm like, well, I'm not your boss. All I do is look here. This is a roadmap for victory. And I'm on it. And the more I learn and walk in it, the more I'm going to go give it away. Mac, he used to look over. I mean, he's preaching to a state trooper. When he used to see a state trooper nearly faint. And then he hears, well, you're blessed is what it is. You're favored is what it is. And then he's in there. Y'all was in a hot tub. Not together, but I mean, y'all was in there together. And it was all good.
No shirts on, nothing.
That's deep enough, Mac. And he's in there and he can't help it. And he goes to telling him about Jesus. That's a little odd situation. But he broke the barrier. Jesus was bigger than the oddness. You know? Ain't you glad we can have a good time off of Mac? We couldn't have did it without you, Mac. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know, the Bible says in Mark 11, he says, whatsoever things you desire, do you desire to know him more? Well, whatsoever things, believe, ask him. He said, ask and believe that you receive it. It don't have to be your car or money. It can be closer walk with Jesus, right? It can be, Lord, I just believe whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Father, I just pray right now that you increase the knowledge of your will to me. And I just believe that I receive it right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you know what that'll cause? That'll cause revelation to start to you because you are believing for it. God, I thank you for a more, I'm believing God for a more prosperous life in my latter years than I've had in my former. And I've had it pretty good. But God's goodness is way past that. The Bible says in Psalms 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. See, God's wanting you to look at your impossible situation of your house being paid off like I did. And lay your hands on your impossible whatever it is. And lay hold of it. And say, God, your word says in Mark 11, 20, that whatsoever things I desire my house to be paid off in the name of Jesus. And laid my hands on my house and talked to my house. I said, soon and very soon, you will belong to me and not me and the bank. Wells Fargo. I said, well, I called out Wells Fargo. And you know what? I mean, it went on and I looked, here come the payment due. It didn't change my believing. Waited another month, here it come again. I thought, well, it's going to be next month. It come again. Well, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Well, it come again. A year went by. 2 years went by. And I'd go out at least once a week or twice a week and I'd lay hands on it. You belong to me and only me and God. I wouldn't say nothing else about Wells Fargo because I done emptied them 6 months ago from owning my house, part of my house. Well, you know what? A little time goes by. I laid my hands on all the trucks that I owed and all of that. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, right? I laid my hands on my trucks. I was believing God for a new truck one time. And I said, God, I said, your word said, this 25 years ago or longer. I'm praying, and I said, God, I just thank you, Lord, for a new truck. Lord, and if you don't care, Lord, I said, I would like to have air conditioning in it. You know, going to the jails, man, leaving church, and you're soaking wet time you get jails. And back then, we had real jails. They didn't have TVs and air conditioning. And, you know, I mean, these guys are wanting out of there for a reason. Well, anyhow, you know, I'm asking the Lord, and I said, I just believe I receive it in Jesus' name. And God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, you won't wash the one you got. I thought, oh, man, why do you have to bring that up? And so I thought, well, bless God, faith comes by hearing. So then I went to washing. I washed that truck regular, and the fenders was, it come from up north, and the fenders were eat up. Look, faith without works is dead. In other words, God was telling, and then I started thanking God for that truck. I started thanking God. I said, thank you, Lord, I've got 460 air conditions. Four windows, had the little windows that opens in two right here. But I got four windows open, I'm running 60. I praise you, Father, for this heat. I praise you for it, Lord. And I started washing. I almost, Johnny, this is factual. I almost had the fenders built back because once I waxed it, you couldn't get the wax out of the rust. But you know what? We're going down the road one day, and I told my brother, one of my brothers worked together every day. I said, I got a new truck. Where's it at? I ain't seen it. I said, it ain't got here yet. And he said, what? I said, well, it ain't got here yet. I said, but God's having it delivered. And so we're going down the road one day, and we went by this pretty red 88 model long wheelbase Ford truck, you know, and we went by, and my brother, he looked over, he said, hey, there's your truck. I said, where? He said, right there. I said, I don't know about all that. I done been praying, Johnny. What's changed? Because reality's here. How am I going to get it? I ain't got no credit. Ain't nobody going to loan me nothing. And so I said, man, I'll look at it. No, we're going to look at it right now. If this is your truck, I'm feeling it. I feel it. I feel it. Some people will feel it for you. Amen. If you're after God and you ain't really feeling it, he'll put you around somebody that ain't got nothing to lose. And I've used that before. I get around people and they're like, you know, and I'm like, listen, let me handle it. I've got nothing to lose. Let me do it for you. Let me talk for you. You know, I ain't going in there like I'm a beggar. I go in the bank, tell them what I want. I want this. You want that? Yes, I want it. I don't do it now. But I come up through there. You know, I came out of slave. I felt like I come out of slave. The banks don't own me. I mean, nobody owned me. God, if God be for me, the bank can't refuse me. If God be for me, now, I'm not telling you to use me as a pattern, but I'm telling you, in your circumstances, if you call it goofy, get goofy. Some people call that, Scotty's a little goofy. I'm goofy, but I got the goods. The Bible said that the preaching of this Bible is foolishness to those that are perishing. It says that he uses the foolish things of this world to confound them that are wise. Well, you know what? I drove that truck, Donnie. I owned that truck, man. We went on our first vacation in that truck. Travis got them Indians up there at the Wabaho place, whatever it was, up in Pigeon Forge. We went over into the Indian territory over there. And so we got Travis, we didn't want no tattoos on him. I was a little more religious then than I am now. Y'all quiet. Let's get off of tattoos. Okay, let's go back to having fun. If I wanted a tattoo and I'd ask God and it's okay, I'd get one. You know, but anyways. Anyhow, he gets him little chicks made with them Indian war paint, you know, and all of that stuff. And he's about Aiden's. He's about Aiden's, you know. But that truck had nice air condition, power windows, man, 302, man, 5-speed, everything that I wanted, extended cab. Man, I never had an extended cab in my life. I mean, we got a car and a truck, man. I can haul garage doors and go on vacation and load everything we got in the house. We didn't have much then. But you know what? My first payment, I didn't have the money to make my first payment. But you know what? I thought God gave me this truck. Bless God. And I'm just going to believe God. It's due Monday. I go to church on Sunday. God speaks to me. See, I could have said, I'm just not going to church. I'm just depressed. I ain't got no money for tomorrow. My truck payment due. I'm going to be late. Now I won't never get nothing. This is bad. This is terrible. I didn't. I said, glory to God. Somehow God is going to come through for me. I didn't even know that I had faith like that. Faith is a choice. You got it. You just choose not to complain. So I went on to church. A lot of Christians, I ain't going to church. I just don't feel good. I feel wore out. I mean, it's just like Dave said. Oh, come on, ring a bell somewhere where I can take a break. We understand. Dave, we understand. I'm just telling you the honest to goodness truth. You ain't in that boat alone. We're Christians. I mean, we've turned to the God that delivered us. We've turned our heart to Him. We've turned our minds to Him. And the enemy's wanting us to look back. Take your mirror off. Take your rear view mirror off and don't look back about nothing. You just keep going toward the promised land. Keep going towards your house paid off. Keep going towards your bills being paid. Keep on till you get up there to where you got more than enough. You got more than enough for your bills because He's taking you from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And every level of faith gets you into another level of supply. Even to where you're going to say, I just want a pontoon. Or whatever. You know. Yeah, and see, he comes and challenges all. Well, I went to church. Somebody say, church.
Church.
I went to church that Sunday night, and my mind wasn't on no money, no nothing. It was on God, hallelujah. We started praise and worship, and I've got my hands slipped up like we do here, and these kids are going to outrun us in this praise. They're already jumping and dancing. I mean, the little one, her little baby. I look back there, man, she's like Kelly's Barn, that dance we used to go to, boy. I mean, she's after it. Some of y'all don't know what Kelly's Barn is. It was a dance on Saturday night we went to. Mom and them took us to. Anyways, this guy walks over to me, gets me by the arm, and I wanted to slap him because I was in the spirit. Don't mess with people when they're praising the Lord. You know, but he couldn't wait. He was excited. He said, God told me to give you this. I said, oh, thank you, brother. I stuck it in my pocket and back to worshiping Jesus. Ooh, yeah. He's so good. See, I was in his presence, and none of that was really meaning nothing to me. Because my mind ain't out there. He's done delivered me, brought my wife back with my baby that was leaving me and gone. I didn't commit suicide. And here, man, I'm feeling pretty good about life, and I ain't got time to worry about that truck payment. And so we start home, Trace opens up. I believe it was $300, wasn't it? $300. Good Lord, it took me a week and a half to make that. All I did is went to church one service. Just one service. And I thought, whoo, he's a big God. $300, that's a lot of money. I'm telling you, I'm going back to church. I ain't missing church again. But God, he's liable to speak to somebody in there. How many knows? He uses people to bless you. God don't have money trees. No, he's got wealthy, rich, generous people in this planet. You know? And God knows how to connect you. God told me one time, he said, I can speak to somebody in Africa if I want to meet your bills over here. I can tell them your name is Scotty Weston in Alabama. And I thought, I don't know if he could really do that or not. And then I thought, his sheep hear his voice. Right? He didn't say the sheep in Alabama going to hear your voice. He just said his sheep. Well, you know what? We paid tithes. Somebody say, pay tithes. Woo-hoo! We paid our tithes, bought us some groceries, paid my truck payment on time. I never was late on that truck. And you know what? I started believing God not long into it. God, I'm going to own this before I'm going to pay it off early, God. I'm going to believe you to pay it off early. You know what? I paid it off early, and that felt real good. So I decided to pay everything off early that I own. So I ain't paid nothing full term that I can think of in a long time. Pray it, pay it, believe it in. Believe it in. Believe it in. Hallelujah. See, I got to close, man. Y'all might charge me if I go over 45 minutes. Because you hear, preachers are long-winded. And then I'm like, the most of them that says that, they'll gripe to somebody and get in a little cackling squad, and they'll sit there an hour and a half talking about everything. They don't ever say, this is long-winded service. Right? Yeah. And then one preacher told me, he said, I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul. I'm going to preach up to the midnight hour. I said, you ain't anointed either. I said, that was the Apostle Paul, man. He was anointed, man. This stuff was happening. Power of God. I said, you ain't going to get nobody to stay. Praise God. But see, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of the things that you hope for. Faith is your substance of your what you're hoping for, you're believing for, you're believing God for. So you got to hold on to faith. The Bible says in Hebrews, through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They quenched the fire. They quenched the mouths of the lion. Through faith. And then God said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What that means is, without God, it is impossible to walk with Him. Without faith, it's impossible to walk with Him. Amen. To walk with God, you must have faith. You must get the Word of God, renew your mind to the Word of God, and keep the Word of God, and endeavor to embrace the Word of God. So I want to encourage all of y'all in school and all of that stuff, and don't complain. Don't complain about home. I told Travis one time, I get something, Mamaw helped him with this. His Mamaw, she's gone. Be with the Lord now. I get 17 days, I'm moving out. I'm moving in Mamaw. I said, yeah, you know what? I said, you're going to pay me to live with Mamaw. I said, you ain't going to freeload off of Mamaw. I said, you go live with Mamaw, you're going to pay me $50 a week. So you go live with Mamaw now. What am I doing? See, he goes, boy, Dad, I'm telling you, these adults pay Mamaw. He probably did gripe about it. He just didn't do it to us. Probably went to school and griped about it. Y'all gripe about your parents in school? Stop. You're griping about God. God puts you in your parents. Right? You came out of you wouldn't exist without them. You're privileged to be with your parents. I mean, you need to be praising God. Oh, think about somebody that's terrible. That could be your mom and daddy and say, oh, praise you, Jesus, for my mom and daddy. I could be living with them heathens. They don't get to do nothing. I wish I knew this stuff, Johnny, when I was at home. I wished I'd have knew that I could praise my way to my daddy's truck without lying to him. I would have praised God for him giving me $5 to go this, I didn't go to the skating rink, but whatever I wanted to do. Go find me a joint. I didn't know none of that, Dave. And y'all teenagers got the upper hand on us. We're trying to figure y'all out. We got to give y'all to God too, because we can't figure y'all out. Y'all can't even figure yourself out. I mean, if you're confused about you, surely we can't figure you out. But when you identify and begin to praise God and all of that stuff, hallelujah, see, exercise it now, and when you get up to an adult, you won't have a hard time. You won't have to learn it. You'll already know how to be a praiser. You'll already know how to give hurt to the Lord, casting all of your cares over on the Lord. You've already exercised that as a teenager, and you're a happy teenager in school. You don't feel like you got to fit in with the cliques. Somebody comes and tells you you're a nobody. You're like, nah, I'm somebody. God said, I'm somebody. I'm the apple of His eye, and I don't really need you to feel good about myself. I already had a wart. I cursed that stupid thing because the kids was kind of laughing at her in school and making, and you know, like maybe you're a leprous, stay away from her. You know, that hurts those kids. You know, and I'd tell her, praise God, hallelujah. They just don't know what they're missing, praise God. Look at you, you're beautiful, you're this, you're that, you know. I got her to feel good even with the wart. Well, she's holding friends. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I curse that wart that's bothering her so bad in the name of Jesus. We commanded, me and Teresa prayed, and I'm sure Beth and them did. Praise God. She's holding her friend's hand, and every time she gets on to drive something with me, she's going, it's bothering her. You know, don't touch it. Just don't touch it. I told her, I said, come over here, baby. I said, Papa, I got a pocket knife. We'll cut that thing off. Look at her. She's like, no, Papa. She tell when she don't like something, she'll say, Papa. Had a little cat over there and that thing getting her. It was wild. Showed up the house. And God told Teresa to get one. She wouldn't get one. So God sent one. God sent one to the house. That thing just stayed at the house, you know, and it was kind of wild. And you go to pet it. And I mean, it attacked me, man. I mean, you know. That cat. So she's trying to pet. It'd get her. Oh, Papa, look, it got me right here. And I tried to pet it. And I told her one day, I said, baby, I said, I'm about to get tired of that cat. I said, I'm telling you right now, that cat's torturing you. I said, I'm going to choke it out. Papa, you can't choke the kitten out, Papa. I said, it's tormenting you. And I started to say, it's tormenting me. And I thought, I'm not going to name it that. I seen somebody name their cat Demon one time, and that thing attacked them like a demon. It would jump off. I mean, it would jump off the refrigerator and stuff right on your face. I told them, I said, man, you need to stop calling that cat Demon. They said, well, we're just calling it what it acts like. I said, you named it. Yeah. Called it Demon. You didn't want to go to their house. Stupid cat come out of nowhere and just slap you one time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But stop complaining. Stop complaining about the pollen. Stop complaining. I'm telling you, if you'll exercise, not, I'm telling you, this is the word of the Lord tonight. If you'll exercise this, I'm talking about for the rest of this month, you're going to be shocked at what your life is in a month. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, I just thank you for the word.